Welcome to the church here in Belvedere. It's nice to see regular people. Nice to see a few visitors as well. Welcome everyone. We hope you have a great time during our special Harvest Thanksgiving service this afternoon. I just introduce Paul Reed here, sitting on the second row. Paul Reed is a good friend of the church. Paul has come to speak to us, to preach to us later from the Bible. Paul's come all the way from Hastings, so not just around the corner. So thank you, Paul, for coming. We look forward to hearing from you later. Let's pray to God together. Let's all pray. Almighty God, loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the chance to come here this afternoon to say thank you for harvest, to say thank you for your kindness and your provision towards us. How we thank you, Lord, for common grace. How we thank you, Lord, for special grace. Lord, we thank you for every good thing that we enjoy. And we acknowledge this afternoon, Lord, that it does come from your hand. Everything in this world is kept and sustained by you. Lord, we thank you for the way you take care of us. Lord, we thank you for the way you preserve us. Lord, we thank you for being able to come into this, your church, this afternoon, to spend just a short while thanking and worshipping you. And Lord, when we think of being thankful and gifts, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for that salvation plan that you put into action all those years ago. Lord, that you looked down on us in our sin. And you didn't leave us. You weren't prepared to leave us in our sin. You sent your Son to take our punishment if we would have him. Lord, we pray that you might help each one of us here this afternoon in this church building to know that in our hearts, to know that for a fact for ourselves, Lord, that we might each one have a special relationship with your Son, Jesus, and be able to call him Saviour this day. Father, we thank you for the good news that the Bible gives us. Good news that so many people out in the world miss out on, Lord. Good news that so many people are looking for but can't find. Lord, we thank you that we can proclaim here now that it is the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would come and speak to us later. Thank you for Paul Reed coming to us again this year, this afternoon. Lord, we thank you for the many years that Paul has served you in various locations, and Ruth, his wife. Lord, we thank you for the word in advance, Lord, that he will bring. And we pray that you'd be with Paul and that he would know your Spirit's aid and help as he comes to speak to us. Help us each one, Lord, in just a little while to listen and to be ready and open to hear what you might say to us. So, Father, again, then we just bring and lift up our thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello. So I'm going to be reading from God's Word. If you'd like to turn to it, then feel free. And we're reading from John's Gospel, chapter 15. We're reading from verse 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So reads God's perfect and infallible word.
Well, hello everybody. It's good to be here in Belvedere again and see this wonderful line of young ladies and one young man at the end. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have you got a good or a great granddad? A really special granddad. Has anybody got a granddad? Have you got a granddad who is here? Okay. Shall we ask the granddads to stand up? Shall we? All the granddads stand up. Oh. They're a rough looking bunch, aren't they? Well, I don't know. Thank you, granddads, very much. Granddads, you know, are very special people. Because they give you nice things, things you shouldn't have. And they let you do things that mum doesn't know about. In fact, I took my granddaughter yesterday down to the sea with their dog because her parents had taken other grandchildren to university. And we walked by the sea. And she's not really supposed to be jumping around very much because she's got a bit of a bad leg. But do you know, the next thing I knew, she was jumping in the sea with all her clothes on. I thought that was great. And I'd already prepared for that because I got a big towel in the car. You see, granddads are wonderful people, really. So look after your granddads, won't you? Now, I used to go to my granddad's, and he had something special. He had something called a market garden. And in this garden, he grew all kinds of wonderful things. He grew cucumbers. And he grew flowers called gloxinias, and all kind. I used to love to go there. Some of the greenhouses had all kinds of warm things in there. One of the greenhouses, I haven't got it to show you, had something really special. The biggest, the hugest spiders that you'd ever seen. They loved the warmth, and in the boxes used to get these massive spiders. So I grew up to love spiders. Do you love spiders? You don't? You good. I'm glad you like spiders. They're very useful things. Okay, but he used to grow lots of things. So I love growing things. Do you know what this is? What? It's a bit withered now because I cut it this morning. But do you know what that is? Where that comes from? Usually has little yellow flowers on it. No. Here, what do you think? Well done. Very, very good. And I like growing tomatoes. And last year I grew tomatoes and they were no good. They got something called tomato blight. And they were all bad and horrible and not very nice at all. So I dug up all the soil in my greenhouse and I put some new compost, that's lovely rich soil, into the ground. And this year I've grown some tomatoes. I've got some in here, some of my tomatoes. Wow. Look at that. Isn't it lovely? Like that one. Do you like tomatoes? Afterwards, we're having tea. Perhaps somebody will cut these up and you can taste my wonderful homegrown tomatoes. Aren't I very clever? I am, yeah. Okay. I once spent a whole afternoon helping my son dig a big allotment. And we had in the allotment all kinds of things. And one afternoon I spent time putting in brassicas, that's cabbages, little cabbage plants and all kinds of things like that. And my back ached and I felt old and I thought I couldn't do any more. So I went home about 6 o'clock. But I knew there was something I hadn't done. What I hadn't done is put any nets over them because pigeons like cabbages and stuff. So next morning I got up early, about 8:30, I got ready and got my net ready to put over all of these little plants. And when I got there, can you guess what had happened? What do you think? Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. Every single cabbage had vanished and there wasn't one there at all. And I felt like crying. I really did, because I put so much effort into doing that. Now Jesus asked a lot of men to follow him. They were called his disciples. And he had a lot to show and teach them. The things he said to them were quite different to what other people were talking about. And so people were a little bit amazed at his teaching, a bit surprised. And some people didn't like it at all and got angry with Jesus. He often taught them in the open air. As he walked around, he would point to things, or he would see things. And he would use the things he saw to teach his disciples. Things like birds, sparrows, things like farmers who were doing work in the fields. So that must have been really, really exciting. I would have loved to have walked around with Jesus. It's a bit better than coming to church because you just have to sit here and you can't see a lot, can you? Except for a lot of our funny people in the church. That's all you can see. But with Jesus, it was exciting. It was dynamic because he would look at something or he would pick something and would use it to tell or make a story. And that was great. Okay. Now, I said I was quite proud of my plants. I've got one other thing to show you here. And it's even in a sorrier state than the other one. But I wonder what you think this one is. It doesn't smell, this one. And the leaves are quite big. And I didn't grow this. My grandfather had one in one of his greenhouses. Anybody, what do you think that might be? We read about it. What did we read about? Do you remember? Anybody remember what we read about? What was the plant that we read about that Jesus said he was? I'll give you a clue. Grapes. Do you like grapes? They're lovely, aren't they? What do grapes grow on? Anybody know? They actually grow on this plant. This is a rather old and withered vine, part of a branch. It's old and withered because it's getting now towards the end of summer, and so it's beginning to die off. But this had no fruit on it, so I thought I'd just cut it off and bring it to show you. So this is a vine. And Jesus said something amazing. He said, "I am the vine." I guess he must have been sitting underneath perhaps a vine, and he put up his hand. And perhaps he even might have taken one of these lovely grapes and popped it in his mouth. And perhaps he went, and looked at his disciples and then said, "I am the vine." So Jesus was good, very good they're painting pictures. We call, if I eat this, I'm going to spit it out. Very good at painting pictures, and we call them, you know what we call them? Parables, don't we? Pictures have a hidden meaning, and that is what Jesus was doing there. A good vine bears lots of lovely fruit, scrumptious fruit, those kind of grapes that I showed you. And they're lovely to eat, aren't they? I really enjoy them. I can remember seeing a vine in Hampton. Have you been to Hampton Court? There's a huge vine in one of the greenhouses there. And outside there's a bit of land as big as this church where all the roots, and they just keep that bare and they feed it during the year. And inside, the vine grows inside, there's a huge vine, I don't know, three times as long as this. And it bears tons and tons of wonderful fruit. A very, very, very special wine. Now why did Jesus say, I am the true vine? Notice that? Jesus just didn't say, I am a vine. He said, I am the true vine. Now the part of the Bible which is called the Old Testament describes the nation of Israel as a vine. However, time and time again it says that it has failed to produce any fruit. One of their prophets, Hosea, said that Israel was an empty vine. Now Jesus says, I am the true vine. Israel is a failure. It's failed as a vine. It hasn't borne fruit. But I am the true vine. And Jesus is telling the people, all of the people who are listening to him, that his life would bear lots and lots of fruit. People would come to know God. Their lives would be changed. And much better. He would make a huge difference in their lives. And so, what is important? What does Jesus emphasize in this story? He talks about the connection, that we need to be connected to Jesus. Just as the branch, this branch is pretty useless, really, isn't it? Because it's not connected to anything. This branch isn't going anywhere, and nor is this, we just throw them away. It needs to be connected to the main plant. And Jesus was saying, to bear fruit that God is pleased with, we need to be connected to him. So what does it mean to abide? Because that's the word we read, to abide in Jesus. And what happens in our lives when we have that connection with Jesus? Well, first of all, we're loved. It's good to be loved by your granddads, isn't it? Do you think your granddads love you? Of course they love you lots and lots, don't they? I love my grandchildren lots. And Jesus talked about being loved if we abide in him. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide, he says, in my love. However, with love there comes responsibility. We must do our very best to follow Jesus, to do what he says. And he said, if you obey my commandments, if you do what I tell you to do, then you will abide, you will remain, you will keep in my love. And that's very important. These words of Jesus then are extraordinary, because he goes on to say, if we do that, we are his friends. Have you got some friends? You've got some good friends? Have you? Good. In school or in the church? You got some friends here? Looks as though you all should be friends. You're going to grow up with each other, and that's great to have really wonderful friends. And we can be friends. I had a friend called Norman. We all ought to have a friend called Norman. I used to go for long walks with Norman. We used to walk, we did the right across the Dartmoor and Exmoor, the Southwest Scottish Highland Way, and all through the Dales. I can remember we used to get into all kinds of scrapes and do silly things. One day I was in a youth hostel and I was tired. We'd walked a long way. And we got to the youth hostel and I asked for some milk. And I had my backpack on and I was tired. I put the milk under my arm. I took one step and the milk slipped to the ground and smashed. It smashed everywhere. And the milk went all over the place. And I felt such an idiot. Norman said, "Never mind. Come on, let's go to the kitchen." He got a dustpan and brush. And got something else to clean it up. And Norman, my friend, began to tidy up. He took control. I was a nervous wreck, but doing this, wondering what they would say. But Norman took control, and he made it all right again. And that's like having Jesus as our friend. He's there. He's there to help us. He's there through our lives. He's there to assist us, and he can be our very, very best friend. We used to sing, Mike's old granddad, you know, and we used to sing together in days gone by a song called "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Do you still sing that here? What a friend we have in Jesus. Do you know that one? That's great, isn't it? And do you know, boys and girls, grown-ups, the friendship of Jesus really does make all the difference. He is the important connection. If we are in him, if we abide in him, he makes all the difference in our lives. He gives us his peace, his joy. And he is, and he always will be, the very best friend. How do we abide in Jesus? To trust him, to love him, put him in our lives, to talk to him. If you've got a friend, you've got to look after them, haven't you? My wife is very good with her friends. I'm not so good. You know, she meets up with the people she nursed with. She even meets up with somebody she went to school with when she was a very little girl your age. She meets up with people she went to school with when she was in secondary school. They write and they communicate together. They do all kinds of things together because she looks after her friends. And we too need to grow up to look after, well, he will look after us, but to make sure we keep in contact with the friend who is Jesus. Will you do that? Good. I trust that all of you will come to know him and love him. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for a clear message. How wonderful it would be for everyone here to be able to be connected with Jesus and call him your personal friend. I've asked Pastor Tom if he'll come and close in prayer.
Bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we have such a friend in Jesus Christ, that he will never let us down, that he will always be faithful, even when we are sometimes faithless. Thank you, Father, that we never have to feel alone, because you're always with us. Lord, we many of us in this room will all know what it's like. We can maybe think back to times in school, times even in our families, times at work, where we feel lonely. We know what it is to be lonely. But thank you, O God, that you have sent your Son into the world, that we should be friends with you, O God, forever. And it's our prayer, O God, that anyone here who does not know the friend that Jesus can be, that they would see for themselves what a faithful friend he is. It'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, to be friends with a queen or to be friends with someone important. Oh, how to be friends with God, who you are, O God, to be friends with the one who is the creator, the one who is the sustainer, the one who is all-powerful. This is a privilege indeed. Thank you that we who were once dead in sin, in rebellion before you, can now be friends and have peace with you. This is a privilege that we should never forget. Father, we do pray for the food that we've had. We thank you for all your blessings to us. We thank you that day by day you cause the rain to shine on the righteous and on the unrighteous. And we thank you for every good gift that we have. And I do pray, O God, that you bless our food to our bodies, that you bless our conversation, and more than anything, you bless our souls. Amen.